So this is me, you said, here.
Yep.
Cool. Yeah. And the truth is scary.
Damn right. Check, 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 check. Okay. All right, we should be good. You can hear yourself in the headphones.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Mic check. Perfect. Can I vape in here?
This little shit.
Is it H-A-Z-E or Z-Z?
H-A-Z-E. Oh, I do got my shit. Oh, a matter of fact, Joe, I'm going to get you guys both a copy of my latest work.
Cool.
For having me on.
I got time to piss real quick.
Oh, yeah. Coolio. Mm-hmm. How to rock an instrumental. Very cool.
Yeah. Johnny Hayes, the familiar face.
And he's got the music.
Oh, yeah. He's
he
awesome.
Knows what to do. Mm-hmm. We'll just bring that in as, you know, we got here as we need it. Yeah. I'll let him work the technical.
I got this bad boy for a vape.
Oh, nice. You're one of those heavy duty ones. My brother's serious into it too. Mm. I just hit the fucking little vape pen. That's the fucking music.
Then of course we got this bag, the globe, you know.
Yeah. Trying to find a good flower vape.
True. Those are tough.
G pen,
yeah.
A G, whatever. It is.
Nah, the G pens. I would stay away from.
Everybody says the packs, but you know I don't like the hit.
They have it's called it's like the can of something. I don't know if it's can of stick or can of vape or can of something. It's green. It's more of a square cylinder, like if that makes sense. It's so if you put it on a table, it won't roll away. Instead of the generic tube. Yeah. It's squared off.
I like flour, man. Mm-hmm. Concentrates are right. I do like the vape juice, but that's real hard to find.
It is, yeah. And it's expensive when you find it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have my card yet.
I'm working on that myself. My buddy does, thank God. But he only gets 2.5 a month, and that shit goes quick. That's two trips. Like, because every G of wax
check.
Is an eighth of flowers, and they charge you for that. Yeah, they charge you for the eighth. Ain't that some bullshit?
Right. Just make sure when you're on the mic, you stay on the mic, you hear yourself. If you hear yourself distant, it you know, measures.
Yep, go accordingly.
Need a shot.
And are we G-rated?
No, we could start.
Got you, then fuck them.
I'm hanging out here in the studio with Johnny Hayes. I'm all ready to
roll. Yeah. I appreciate the opportunity.
We're going to talk a little bit about the rap game and some other stuff. Listen to some music. This is the first for the show. I'm ready to roll my hoodie, my Illuminati t-shirt. Mm.
So... ready to roll.
Back there somewhere. Kevin's gonna get a good shot right now. All of us.
Cool.
And then we're gonna rock and roll.
AOCT, stand up. You already know Connecticut's homegrown Hayes. What's good?
See, there we go. There he is.
You're over there.
All right. All right. We're good to go. All right. Thanks, let's do it. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to The Red Pill. I'm Kevin Szabo with Kev Rock Entertainment, back with Joseph Peterson of TruthIsScary.com. And a first for the show, our first guest, Connecticut hip-hop artist Johnny Hayes. Welcome to the show. Thanks for being on, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Now, this was It's honestly something that was like a long time in the making, because Joe said he wanted to do something talking with conscious rap, talking about the state of the rap game. He's worked in the music industry, and to have some guests on the show. And he said to me so many times, you know, I want to get the guys that you rap with, the guys that you work with, have mm-hmm. them come on the show. And I was thinking of who we could bring on, all the people we work with and everything. And then I found out you guys knew each other back in the day from the wrestling game. And I was like, you know what? So this is a little reunion for you guys too. And you're coming out with more and more conscious shit as of lately. And you always talk real shit, but lately everything you're doing with High Society and Tommy and Cubs, and shout out to the whole crew.
Definitely.
You guys are getting into this is a time of great awakening, and your music is reflecting it. So I figured you'd be the perfect guest to come on. So you're the first guest on the Red Pill, brother.
All right. Thanks again, man. And yo, CT, how we feeling, man? You know I'm high as a motherfucking kite. Joe, wow. Thanks again, homie.
Ah, hey, no problem, man. It's nice to see you again, brother. You know, it's always good when things come full circle. Like you said, it's a small world, and mm-hmm. And that's what's good about it. You know what I mean? Because, you know, sometimes things are meant to be. People who have met in the past come back together again for different reasons. So, and it was nice to see that now you are on the conscious tip, rapping, mm-hmm. instead of beating people up in the wrestling ring.
I know,
you know
that's
man?
Right.
You know, it's probably a lot. Well, I don't know if it's any less dangerous, but it definitely doesn't hurt as much, right?
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't.
For sure.
And shouts to indie wrestling.
yeah, no, right. That's what it's all about here. We're talking really about indie everything. Indie mm-hmm. wrestling is how we knew each other. Now you're on the indie rap scene, you know what I mean? And for me, being in the rap game and seeing it on both sides, you know, on the underground indie scene for, out in Los Angeles and here to some extent in Connecticut, and as well as also seeing it on the larger scale, you know, the bottom line is it all starts on the underground, and it starts on the indie scene. Even the Truth Movement
always
started as an underground movement and became mainstream. And wrestling, indie wrestling, all these people you might see on the indie wrestling scene now become big stars.
That's right.
You know, and that's how it happens. So really, if you want to look for what's fresh and what's new and for new talent and new ideas and new creativity, you always got to go down to the underground. That's why when I was in the wrestling game, the first place I looked was in the backyard wrestling.
That's right.
For talent, because mm-hmm. I worked at a wrestling school. So I needed students and I wanted to build a federation. So I looked in the backyards, right down to the underground. When I had the rap label in L.A., we went out to the underground hip-hop shows looking for new artists and new talent with fresh ideas. That's where it all comes from. And the same thing with the alternative media. It's an underground movement, which is really where the new ideas and the new creativity come from. It doesn't come from the mainstream. The mainstream just takes it mm-hmm. and twists it around and makes its own version so it fits in to the agenda. Obviously, we see the commercial rap music out there, the crap music that's out there,
yeah.
and the evolution of rap. Now, me, I'm old. I've seen it since back the Sugar Hill Gang. Do you know what I mean? Even back then, I would listen to hip-hop music, and it was really almost all underground back then. And I've seen the evolution of hip-hop music from that to what it is now, which is a bunch of garbage, commercialized mm-hmm. garbage, all fit towards one agenda.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? But there's still, luckily, thank God, an underground scene. In other words, the underground scene never dies. They just pick and choose and take from it mm-hmm. what they want to exploit, pretty much.
Exactly.
You know, and the ones who will sell out to them. So, you know, I really have a lot of respect for the underground scene of anything, whether it be movies, music, independent wrestling, alternative news, whatever. I mean, that's where the really meat potatoes of things are. Not from the mainstream, what they're going to feed you down.
Mm-hmm.
It's what comes up
yeah.
in the underground. That's the real truth. And if you can get right to the bottom of it, and that's what truth is all about, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's where you're going to find the truth.
Exactly.
Not at the surface. It's usually underneath everything, right?
Yeah.
So really, props. Really props to you Amen. Guys. So, How'd you get involved in, like, first of all, the rap game? I didn't even know you were a rapper. Second of all, consciousness, just what led to your, like, awakening or whatever you'd like to, you know, call
when'd you start
it?
Seeing the world in a different way and what prompted that?
Well, I mean, just to go back on what Joe was touching on, I was a backyard wrestler. You know, I'm very passionate in anything I do. I give it 110%. So it started from the backyard. I was hungry. I ended up going and getting trained professionally, started on the independent circuit, and that's where I linked up through promotion and seeing a guy who was really hungry and getting out there and helping locals, and that's where I met Joe. And, you know, he's been a hell of a guy ever since. And now we've went our separate ways. But it's funny, I believe in the whole destiny or, you know, the predetermined. Everything happens for a reason. So now we come full circle and here we are today. Now, I appreciate that. And to touch on how I first so-called got awakened, really, it's just I was tired of, I knew there had to be something more to, you know, what they were teaching us and what everyone was trying to shove down my throat. I always was an artistic person. I always had a hell of an imagination and I always liked to ask questions. And I saw when I would ask questions to some of my, you know, superiors or elders, they would beat around the bush and they didn't really have the answers to give me. And that's when I started, you know, looking deeper. Part of me was saying, yeah, yeah, this is the way things are. But another part of me was screaming out, hey, there's right. more to life than this, right. man. You know, don't just take everything at face value. You know, do a little digging, see what's really going on. And when you start to, you know, dig deep into anything, you start to see the light, you start to see the truth. And
right.
Yeah.
Then sometimes the truth is not always the light. It's kind of dark sometimes.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. yeah.
I mean, I know for me, like you say, if you dig deep in anything, you're going to see the truth and you're going to see the dark side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it held true with the wrestling business. You know, it looks great on the surface and it looks,
yeah.
but underneath it, there's a very dark side.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of greed, a lot of backstabbing, a lot of politics that goes on. Egos, very much egos, because you're in a performance media.
Exactly.
So you're always dealing with egos. Same thing in the rap, in the music business in general. Frick, just the rap game. The music business in general looks all nice. You put on a nice show. Taylor Swift looks wonderful. Everybody on stage looks great. The music sounds great after you go through the studio and all that. But, you know, underneath what makes it all happen, there's a dirty, nasty underbelly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's that way with everything. I mean, you find it in the alternative media. There's a lot of egos and a lot of backstabbing between the people in it. So, I mean, these are the things you know, the truth, unfortunately, is not always pretty.
No.
And that's why they try to hide it from us.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? It's
yeah.
just not always fucking pretty what goes on to make these things that happen on the surface that you see look so nice and wonderful and, you know, come off all that great. It takes a lot of crap and a lot of bullshit to make it happen.
Yeah.
And they use a lot of dirty tricks and a lot of people suffer. You know, there's a lot. For every person that makes it to the top, there's 10 people get stepped on.
At least. Yeah.
Right.
<Shit. laughs>
You know, on the way up,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the question is to watch out for the feet and make sure you're not one of the people get stepped on. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's that way with everything. And how did you use the internet? How did you first find, you know, start finding,
yeah,
was it 9/11?
9/11 was the first indie show I did. It was the year after, believe it or not.
Right.
We did that indie show and it actually got shut down. Because
right. I remember that.
Yeah,
somebody made some
little,
comments.
Yes,
right.
They
right.
Went a
right.
Overboard.
I think that was the last show I ever did outdoors.
Yes.
But yeah, but I mean, was like the incident for me of 9/11. Like, I had always been the same way you were, like, always questioning
mm-hmm.
what was out there, like, even JFK murder and
mm-hmm.
all that. You start seeing that maybe the government and the media, because they have so much power, don't necessarily always have to be truthful.
That's right.
And then, you know, you start, you know, and for me, it came to a realization that, you know what, if I don't always have to be truthful, what the fuck? The government with all their power and everything.
What means they gotta
be truthful?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And why wouldn't they deceive the public to make them think a certain thing because they thought the truth was too much for them to handle or they didn't want them to know the truth, whatever. And you know, it was really, and I had always been that way, but it was really 9/11 that sparked me to get deeper into what went on behind the surface.
Yeah, know? So like around what stage in your life, like around how old were you, and what was it, was there an incident that really did it for you?
Well, actually, yeah, you know, well, definitely about the 9/11, I think we all felt something that we couldn't explain. There
right.
was definitely, you know, energy, and there was definitely something where we all were focused on something, and I think that's what the people behind the veil had. That was their purpose.
Right.
They needed to focus, you know, we can get deeper into that, but, you know, I think that was what we needed to do. Like, you know, we all harnessed this energy. That was somebody's agenda. You know, right. That was not the right thing to do by no means, but it wasn't just what they gave us at face value. You know, we could have a whole show about 9/11.
Yeah, and we have. We feel. Yeah.
But, you know, it definitely was around that time where, if I'm looking back briefly, I could say definitely around that time was where I started to see absolutely, you know, the questions I'm asking, this is the right way to approach, you know, asking questions, getting a second opinion on things, not just saying, hey, you know, how you doing today? And whatever they tell me, just go and run with that. No.
Or how was your job?
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that video.
But you know what I mean? There's more to life. And I mean, I could touch on so many different things here. But really, I know for myself speaking, for a long time, I thought the world was such a small place. You know what I mean? The world, everything was just such a small place. And then one day, really, I just realized how big and beautiful the world truly is. Yes, there's a lot of evil. There's a lot of good. But, you know, you just see that there's a lot of world. It's a big, beautiful place. You know, we all are human beings. We need to stop with the bullshit, you know, ego and, oh, he's got Nikes and he's got Reeboks, so he's a scumbag. Nah, we got to get out of that bullshit with this new generation. And, you know, the way of thinking's all fucked up. So I don't know where I'm going rambling with this tangent, but my eyes are definitely open now, and it's a learning process as well. You know, you got to take the good with the bad.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, but that's how you get to see what's really going
on. Yeah, but it's a lot more than some people know somewhat of what's going on in the mm-hmm. world, which is like at the starting level of being like, okay, the government's doing more than they tell us.
Right.
But then you are honestly like us in the terms that just in the personal conversations we've had in the studio and recording sessions and writing and things like that, we get mm-hmm. in a side conversation and you dive deep with your information. And you do a lot of research, like just as the research that we've done, anybody in the alternative media has done. I mean, I could bring up anything with him. I don't know if he's open to all of it, but I could bring up the reptilian shit. I'm not saying right now. I'm saying I can usually get into everything with him, and he's got information of his own that he's researched to back it up too.
And again, I don't just go on one thing. When I watch a video on YouTube, I mean, you know, I don't just say, oh, that's the truth.
That's the answer.
You know, I do. Right. I dig a little deeper. I get off the YouTube. You know, maybe I'll Google something. Maybe, you know what I mean? I'll even go to a library if I'm that hooked on something. Let's get away from what they can falsify in front of us and put it out and say, oh, it's the internet. It's got to be true.
There's so much
falseness on the internet. You know, there is truth. There's people there screaming, please look. But there's so many people saying also, please look at bullshit. And you don't know, you know, the scale's tipping in one direction. You don't know, oh, you're seeing this shit about, you know, Area 51. There's nothing to back this up on the History Channel, but yet a lot of people are believing the
You know what I did with Area 51?
Go ahead.
I went there.
There you go.
There you go. I went there.
No shit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I went to Area 51. One there of the weirdest experiences of my whole life. But you know what I'm saying? I agree with you. You know, I do the same thing, obviously, with the website, and I've been researching for years. Mm-hmm. But the internet is not the only source, and it's not the best source. The books, there have been books written out there for ages. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking books that go back to the 1920s, 1930s, 1800s.
Hell yeah.
A lot of those old documents and stuff tell about this New World Order agenda. Mm-hmm. And some of these books have been saying this, tell about the Freemason agenda. You read Morals and Dogma. You read even 1984, Brave New World. These are old books that have been trying to tell you what the fuck is going to happen. And even some of them tell you exactly how they do it. If you read a guy named Manly P. Hall, he wrote his stuff in the 1920s. But he tells you everything about the secrets of lost secrets of the ages, Freemasonry, mm-hmm. the whole deal. If you want to go look and research, it's not from internet videos.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and I would say that's a perfect statement in response to those that think alternative, I won't say media, but information is a fairly recent concept. Like I said, you mentioned the books and everything.
Right.
It depends on how deep you want to go with it when you want to see where the information was stated and where it really first started coming out. You know, it's Alex Jones is not responsible for it.
The freaking Wizard of Oz was all about this. Mm. The Wizard of Oz was follow the yellow brick road to get to the land of Oz, see who runs everything. The yellow bricks are gold. Gold is yellow. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the gold. Mm-hmm. The whole thing, the East, the Wicked Witch of the West. Mm. You know what I mean? The West is evil. It's all in there, and people have been doing this for years. So, yes, these internet videos may help you stay up on current events, mm-hmm. like things that are going on now, because there's a lot of shit going on right now, not only Absolutely. Here on the in the world, but up in the space, in the mm-hmm. cosmos. And that if you know where to look, really, you could keep your eyes on everything. I'm constantly looking at the solar activity, you know, the activity of the stars, seeing what's going on, what they're discovering on Mars, other planets, because everything out there has a conjunction with us. It is all tied into us, and that's what people don't realize. So the more you know about everything, the better. And it's not that you have to obsess and go, oh, my God, the world's going to end. But how many times the fucking world ended?
No, no, that's bad for business. The world's not ending. That's, no. That's bad for business.
Right? The world's not going to end. And I keep saying that every day. The 2012 podcast I did, guys, the world's not going to end. I'm mm. telling you, you're just seeing a shift in the energy. You know, I'm telling you, we're just passing into another age. But nobody wanted to hear. Everybody
we just did September.
We did mm-hmm. the blood moons and all that. Yo, yeah. The coming of the Antichrist. Does that mean he's going to appear instantly? No, it means another change, another different age. You know, I don't know what to believe about all this Antichrist and all this shit.
But you can only see him from this angle because it's right. a hologram.
Yeah, when we haven't shut the hologram on yet, you know, but we're just telling you we're gonna. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, people take these things too literally. And that's really why you do have to, like you were saying, watch the alternative media out there and really be discrepancy. Go to a website, read an article. Try and go and find a factual article more from a scientific journal. Like, read a scientific article about GMOs. Don't just read the alternative Alex Jones version of what GMOs mm-hmm. are. Read what a scientific article is on vaccines. There's plenty of them out there, and you can read them. You can find them. Don't just go by what these guys are saying on their videos, you know. There is research about reptilian aliens and all that, and if you look at ancient texts and you really read into them, there is sort of proof that there was alien interference in the human race and that they had a lot to do with this planet. You got to look into that. You can't just slough it off and go, oh, you know, that's a lot of bullshit. We evolutionized from apes. Yeah, well, really, where's our fucking fur? Why did we lose anything that would have made us more adaptable?
We shed our fur to put on coats of fur.
Right, exactly. Come on. We would become more adaptable to the virus than less. We are the least adaptable species to this environment than anything on this planet. Anything else can live outside. We can't.
Yeah.
So tell me. You know, but anyway, we got off on a little tangent.
No, it's all good.
Now, the way you figure out, so when did you decide to get in the rap game and start talking about this stuff in your music?
Well, to be honest, I always, you know, coming up, since 2006, I've been rapping, just to touch on that. Started, you know, out small, Shelton, Connecticut, doing it with some friends and whatnot. And then I stuck with it as the years progressed, found my craft, and really got comfortable in my own skin. As of late, though, the past few years, I could say I really started touching more, you know, with my words as to how I feel with the whole eyes open, who the sheeple are, who's awake. You know, I started a new project with, I'm not really a group person. I'm usually a solo artist. But as of late, I met some friends of mine who are some talented artists as well, and they have a hip hop aspect. Shouts to High Society, that's my man, Young Cub Scout, and Tommy Red Baron. And shouts to you guys. They really keep me on my toes, and they've been really making me strive to outdo myself with everything I do. And we sort of had this agreement where we're going to give it our all and put some things out there to let people know how we stand on our viewpoint of life, you know. And I don't know if you have anything now, but maybe we could even...
Yeah, you play us when you got a good track. What's the name of this? What's, like, what are the issues you rap about, like?
Really just things that I've went through firsthand. I'm not into saying, oh, my man's a killer, so therefore AK on my...
Right, well, that's all the bullshit.
Yeah,
right?
yeah. You know, I speak on things I've actually seen, done, lived, with my own too. And if you do have that track there, we could play. This is something new. It's called Hear No, See No, Speak No.
And you're gonna spit this?
Yeah, I'll spit this.
Oh, you're gonna do it live?
Yeah,
so
I'll do
this
it live.
Is a, okay,
for you.
All right. Let's try that live right now. You got it, rock
do
and
it
roll
right now. Man.
All right, I'll keep my mouth shut.
All right. And again, they call me Hayes, man. Chick, the red pill. What's good? Yeah. I heard it all, shit, I seen it all,
And Joe, I swear to God, they love to say it all, man. I hear no and see no, speak no. Shit, I ain't saying nothing, I'ma ride for my people. I hear no and see no, speak no. And I'ma stay focused, do away with the evil. I hear no and see no, speak no. And why they wanna hate, cause I'm chilling at 20 below. All they end up doing is stroking up on my ego. Yeah, your boy Hayes been fly just like an ego. Huh, chick, Connecticut. They call me Hazen, I'ma keep it a buck. I got the state rocking with me now, I'm heating them up. So tell them, there's more to me than just some weed in a Dutch. I'm known for making real music that the people could trust. I'm repping like all of the East, I call it a street. My only mission's making sure that all the wolves gonna feast. I'm repping hip-hop, so tell them talking is cheap. I pray hard, cause so many rock the mark of the beast. You play with the flame, well then you bound to get burned. I'm down to spit it till you dig it like you rounding up worms. I hook them, and on the streets, man, I'm a hell of a guy. I'm known to clip wings like fly pelican fly. I'm from the East Coast and we toast on the daily. The weed smoke, the streets know I'ma make it. I hear no and see no, speak no. The homies with the weak flow, rest in peace though. I hear no and see no, speak no. Shit, I ain't saying nothing, I'ma ride for my people. I hear no and see no, speak no. And I'ma stay focused, do away with the evil. I hear no and see no, speak no. And why they wanna hate, cause I'm chilling at 20 below. All they end up doing is stroking up on my ego. Yeah, your boy Hayes been fly just like an ego. Huh. Yeah, I appreciate that, man. That's just a little something, you know what I mean?
Nice. Yeah, nice. So now you going out performing this stuff live?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I've been blessed, you know. I've been booked on a lot of showcases this year, and I'm booked to the end of the year. Matter of fact, if you don't mind, you know, I got a few shows I'd like to talk about right here.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
We got the two tickets right over here.
You're giving away tickets?
You know, maybe we could do something with that, you know, another time. But right now I'm selling tickets, you know what I mean?
I can't take no PayPal here, but I mean, whatever you want, if you got
one,
you
can sell. Yeah, I just wanted to let everyone know, you know, I do have tickets available. The 23rd, I'm at All Stars Bar. You know, that's in Manchester, Connecticut. Tickets are going to be $9 for that. That's a 21-plus event. You know, shouts to Afton for setting that up. And the 24th, the day after, I'm opening up for Bully of D-Block. You got that right. D-Block. Hayes is in the building for that one. That's going down $5 only, all ages. That's at Two Boots in Bridgeport, 281 Fairfield Avenue.
They got good pizza there, man. They got good pizza. I love that place. Yeah.
And matter of fact, a few days after that, we got my man on the 29th. Is that right?
Kev Rock Entertainment. We're going to be live at Milford, at Gippers in Milford. You, me, Just Molina, your boys Third World Country, our boys Third World Country, Grizz and Mateo, a lot of the usual suspects from Shelton.
All right.
Nice.
Yeah,
now, why don't you guys get on Periscope and broadcast that?
You know what? We're going to do that. You heard it first.
I'm
Periscope.
Telling you.
We're gonna report live.
We'll get
the
you
building.
The URL where it is, which channel will be on. I don't know if it'll be on this because I don't know if I can make that show, guys, unfortunately, because work at the weed school on
and
Thursdays.
And you're busy, man. Busy, man.
You know, I got to spread the weed word out there, you know, legalization and educate the people about cannabis. The magic plant. But anyway, so speaking of that, do you rap about cannabis? Do you speak of it in your music?
Well, they call me Catholic. Johnny Hayes.
Yeah, right. Smoke Hayes.
Yeah.
Do you have a specific track, like a specific issue that you like take? Like for me, I mean, I pissed off about chemtrails. That's one of my big ones. But for me, the only one I really feel like I want to get involved in is the weed legalization, especially once I found out the hemp was, you know, the whole real reason it became illegal. I really got pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
All these years I've been treated like a fucking criminal when really all they wanted to do was keep hemp from being industrialized, you know? So for me, like, the weed is like my cause that I really go put time into and go work for. Like with the red pill, I like to expose everything in TIS, show everybody what's going on that I know, but really the thing I really go out there and hit the streets for is the weed legalization. So is there any one issue that you feel like?
To be honest, the one issue would be getting the fans to truly support their scene. You know, talk is cheap. A lot of people are like, yo, oh man, we go hard. Yeah, I rep for my man this. I rep for my man that. Oh, we get it in on Fridays. But yet they don't come out and have a good time at these showcases. Some of them are free. $5, $6, $10. Come on, what else are you doing now? You know what I mean? Come on now. Give it a chance. Support your local scene.
You know, there's talented artists here, right here in CT. It's all about New York, not to take nothing away from the city or Chirac or this and that. No, Connecticut's got hella talent right here. And I'm going forth. I know many people have, you know, done it or tried to do it right here in Connecticut. But today, now, Johnny Hayes is repping, got CT on his shoulders. And I'm trying to put us on the map as a hip-hop state. We have so much talent. The culture is here. It done bled down. It done, you know, we're here. And I just want, my main objective is to bring that true hip hop back. The lyricists, the lyricism, you know what I mean? None of this corny, dumbed down. I see cats come to shows, real talk. They play their MP3 and they hum.
Oh, Jesus.
They hum their fucking verse. Then when it comes to the hook, they come alive and they say four words to the crowd. I'm an MC. I'm not just a dude that puts rhymes together and, you know, speaks in rhyme form. I grasp and I capture the crowd. When I say put the hand up, they don't think twice because they're already in tune with me.
They're doing it already, right?
Yeah, they're in tune with me. And that's the difference between a rapper and an MC. I consider myself the total package. I'm not just trying to toot my own horn. Come out to a show. Have a good time. You know what I mean? Call my bluff. This is what I do. This is what I live. I am an artist. I'm an MC. You know what I mean? So
right.
Definitely call me on that. Come see what I'm about. The cats I fuck with aren't cornballs, you know, and I'll put my name on that.
Well, that's what I'm saying with you guys. Now, if you're not getting the support out to the shows, you know what I mean? You got to find other ways to spread the word.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like I say, Periscope is a good way. Social media is
absolutely
a good way. YouTube. You know, you guys ought to have a YouTube channel putting videos out there.
Speaking of which, I just started episode one is on YouTube now.
The new show.
Yeah, it's called Homegrown.
Well, there you go, yep. Homegrown.
And so we're going to touch on, you know, hip-hop, the culture itself. We may review music, shit. We may review strains on there, you know what
why
I mean?
Not?
We
why
take
not?
Dab hits, we have a hella good time, and we let people know where it's popping and where it's not, you know?
Yeah,
right.
So there you go. The album is How to Rock an Instrumental, Volume 1. The single is Heating Up. And let's talk about real quick. So you're talking about, obviously, we're getting into the local scene of hip hop.
Yeah, let's
and
just
supporting your local music.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about a lot of ways where real lyricism has suffered. And this has been a topic point of many of your songs. So you're a perfect person to talk about it with. Talk about the agenda that we could clearly see behind modern hip hop and the lyricism. You have a
Facebook page.
Dumb It Down for What?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
East Coast
lyricism. It's not like these guys are suddenly like dumber and dumber people are magically coming into the music industry and they're talking about things that are going to harm the youth that admire these hip hop artists. It's all for a reason, really.
What it is the men behind the curtain again. These certain artists, if you want to call them that, they're really
Pick
just
Sean.
Acting. They're acting as puppets.
Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, puppets. And that's all
Drink.
They are.
Yeah.
Yes, they're puppets. Someone's hand is up the ass saying, say this. This is something that needs to be brought to the world's attention. This is a hot topic. We need them to look left while we're over here doing this shit on the right. You know, go ahead and let's get, you know, let's convince the kids that it's cool to be drug dealers. And it's cool to get
Take
caught
ecstasy.
And go to jail. That's all you're worth. You know, from day one, all they're doing is just bringing us down and telling us that, you know, we're not godlike, but really we were created in his image. You know what I mean? So we are all great beings. We are capable of so much. But all our lives, we've been saying, no, 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 you're here. When you get out of school, you go back to school. When you get out of school, you go to work. And you have no you time to become an individual, you know?
Well, I think the hip-hop industry these days does. They're all trying to tell you that you're godlike. But it's they.
Oh, yeah. It's
they are godlike. We
separate.
Have a sense. Right. You can worship us
mm-hmm.
because we are godlike. And we have ascended to this level of godlike. But you really can't. You know what I mean? But
that's
so
right.
So since you can't, you can worship us and live like we tell you to live, which today, if you look at the message out there, is a very hedonistic,
oh, absolutely.
Like
ritualistic.
Sex, ritualistic, drugs, anything goes, YOLO, you know, go jump off a bridge. Yep. It doesn't fucking matter.
I've been selling crack since like the fifth grade.
Yeah.
All the kids say that shit. Right. I'm like, what the fuck are
everybody.
You talking about?
Yeah. Go fuck everybody you want. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's the agenda that they want. They
that's
want
right.
the public,
the puppets,
the it's- masses to be on that base level of instinctual living so they're not really thinking for themselves.
A total that's restricted right. level of consciousness.
Right.
But what it's also done is it's made hip-hop seem like the most, and it made hip-hop and rap the most careless fucking music genre. Like we just talked about, Joe, you should have seen some of these fucking shows we had to sit through.
I've seen like, some of these wannabe rappers.
Like, no, the people rapping over their instrumentals, not eat, like lip-syncing rap music.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
I know.
It's and just the content itself of what they talk about. I mean, it's fucking rhythm and poetry. It used to mean something. It used
right.
to be a real message.
It used
message.
To be an art form.
Really, absolutely.
I'm trying to bring that back.
When it
man,
first
really.
Started out, they were singing about real stuff
yes.
they were experiencing in the hood that they, the white people, you know, and that the rest of society couldn't see because the media wasn't showing it and, you know, pushing it to the side. And they were singing about their real experiences. Hey, this is mm-hmm. what we have to live through here. You know what I mean? People wake up. This is a shit. We're going through hell here. You know what I mean? This okay. is how we live. Drugs. You know, crap on the street. I remember the message. Do you know what I mean? That kind of stuff. That kind of rap is how it really started. And then it just, once the mainstream, you know, the record labels and everything got a hold of it,
they
took control over it. And that's, you saw gangster rap come out. That was nothing but glorifying. But all that did was put more black people in jail, as far as I'm concerned.
So
and I think that was the back agenda of it.
Absolutely.
To create criminals and really to put more people in jail.
Yeah, it goes hand in hand. It benefits the prison.
Free
yeah.
labor.
Yeah.
Yeah, free labor.
Yeah, so I mean, hip-hop has totally gone from, like you say, a way to express yourself and some sort of social commentary mm-hmm. now to just a bunch of bragging and talking about fucking and this and that. And it's garbage. And it's almost like you either have to go backwards and look down to the underground yep. if you want to find good hip-hop, or start looking for another genre of music that is that is consciously speaking to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I don't, you know, on the underground, I haven't heard of anything so wonderful, you know what I mean, that was as large as rap or, say, grunge music mm-hmm. or, you know, punk music, you know, things that actually started movements out there these days, because I think just the fucking creativity of this generation has been stifled so much by technology, by media, and they're being told what to think, that there's not much originality anymore.
True yeah. that, true that, man.
You know what I mean?
It's and just imitation.
It's all imitation.
And laziness is another thing
yeah.
as well, man.
And this goes for everything. Look at movies, remakes, superheroes. Fuck
Part
this.
Seven.
How many fucking superheroes do I have to see? You know, I read them all in the fucking comics when I was a kid. Now they're gonna, you know what I mean? It's like, God, I've never seen so many fucking bullshit
yeah.
superheroes and like movies and then TV shows about scandals and revenge and murder and fucking this, that, and the other thing. You know, and even the sitcoms are just all about garbage, sex, this, that. Remember, like, All in the Family used to be social commentary. You know, they were funny, but they were trying to teach you something
yep.
at the end of that fucking show. Nowadays, they don't care about teaching anyone anything but how to be more of a moral degenerate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people
really,
yeah, people that say that this doesn't, that entertainment really doesn't affect the youth and that it doesn't manipulate
affects
their mind.
Everybody.
It affects everybody. They have no idea how it affects people. They say, oh, it's just TV, it's just music. Well, when I'm hanging with kids that live in very, like, nice, white, suburban neighborhoods and never had a crime in the fucking neighborhood or anything like that, never seen any real shit in the street saying, yo, you know what, man, it's getting tough out here. You really need it. You need a Glock to survive out here, man. It's like, what the fuck are you talking
yeah.
about? And it's the same kids that listen to fucking 2 Chainz every day.
Uh-huh.
And it sounds ridiculous to some people, but no, that fucking came from 2 Chainz. That came from Lil
or
Wayne.
The movie they saw the other day, you know, in the theaters, you know, about the guy who went out and murdered a bunch. You know,
yep.
you wonder why people are going crazy, you know, why we live in such a violent, racist society. Well, look at what is being programmed and plugged into this society.
Absolutely.
It's garbage in, garbage out. I mean, that's the computer rule of everything.
Yeah.
Garbage in, garbage out. You're programming in garbage, you're going to get garbage society.
Yep.
And that's what we have right now. We're programming, and the way they program it is through the media, you know, music, movies, TV, the news, the government. the education system. So they've been programming this society to be gar- and I don't know why. Tell them, I don't know why, because maybe they're easier to control. Yes.
I would say so.
They'll be easier to wipe out when the time comes. Yes, because obviously the agenda is for the world really to belong to them. Yeah. And less of us. As you can see, they're trying to create more robots and automation and technology to take the place of humans, mm-hmm. and eliminate humans to the minimal amount of possible, unless they are of their stature, whatever that stature may be, you know, whether it be a, of a financial or an enlightenment type of stature, I don't know. But they have been programming this society with garbage and just been getting, if you look at from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s to the 2000s, it's just been creating progressively worse and worse and more lower consciousness instead of higher consciousness, even though they try to promote it as higher consciousness. Yeah. You would have thought the 60s with the civil rights movement and the whole hippies and all the upswing in the war and all that would have changed society for the better, but it did for a short term. It looked like it, but the backlash now, look what we have in the 2000 here, mm-hmm. in 2015, our society is worse off and less tolerant than it was in the 60s, I believe, on a certain level, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean,
because of the media and violence and internet and the way people can interact on social media now. And, you know, and we thought the 60s were bad. You know what I mean? And then we had that upswing and we thought, wow, we made some real progress because they changed some fucking laws. Mm. But they did not change people's minds.
That's right,
the minds is what they're still fucking with. And they're still government governing the mind. And that's what they're doing. And I, you know, I see why they're doing it. But we have really got a garbage, shitty society. I'm telling you right now, really, because it's being programmed with trash. And it wasn't always that way, but you can see progressively it's gotten worse. Mm-hmm. And I feel lucky that I was, and even you guys, I'm sure your parents or whatever, whoever helped you, there was a different set of morals that we were raised with. You
respect.
Know, it was a certain respect, a certain ethic that I don't feel like is being put forth these days at all.
Yeah.
In anything. And
you
I noticed
the younger kids, fuck you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, man, listen, you know, don't, hey, fuck you. You ain't my father.
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah, man.
Respect your elders. You know
not
what
even,
I mean?
Just respect somebody. Respect everybody,
that's right,
man.
These little fucking kids.
How are you going to get respect if you don't give it?
Yeah.
And I noticed that. I really have. Like, I work with a kid who's like 21, and it's like he's right there in that millennial age. And I'm like, and I know you're young, but it's different for you. You're awake right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I want to slap the fucking kid sometimes.
Yeah, I know that's right.
Really? And I can't, you know?
Here's the effect.
I want to take the cell phone that he is so fucking attached to, can't even pay attention to what I'm trying to fucking tell him, and ram it down his fucking throat.
Yeah.
See, choke on this, motherfucker. But anyway.
So let me cycle around to this. When I talked to Positive K, he's described it to me like this. He said in the early stages of hip hop, he said it was like youth. He said it was like a cute, like playful time for the music genre. He said now it's like puberty.
Sugar Hill Gang. You know?
He said now it's like puberty. He says it's kind of like an ugly, awkward stage, he says, but I think lyricism is going to come back and it's going to cycle back around. Is this really, I mean, sometimes you never know whether to interpret it as people just wanting to believe there's more positivity than there is, but I'll ask you, is this a time of fantastic awakening, and is this a time where we're going to see lyricism cycle back around? I mean, obviously it has with your music and in my music and everybody that we work with, but in a grand scale of things, you think we're going to see lyricism come back anytime soon?
I do, absolutely. I mean, I heard something that rubbed me the wrong way. It came from a black MC. He said, you know, as blacks, we need to stand up because the white man is now coming in and, you know, being the lyricist, and the blacks are getting more dumbed down. And, like, I don't think this is a color thing at all. You know what I mean? To me, this is, as a culture, it's getting dumbed down. It touches what you were saying.
Right.
The shit they're shoving down our throat every day. You know what I mean? Nobody is truly being creative or their own original. It's a bunch of followers. You know what I mean? You're going to be that one leader and take the chance of, hey, there might be rejection. People might look at me funny. You know, fuck all what anyone thinks. You're going to be that one that stands firm and leads the way. But to touch on that, yes, this is a time of lyricism and words making a comeback. Because there's oversaturation. We already know that. Everyone's competing with free. And MCs, rappers, R&B people, they don't realize that. We are all competing with free. So we need to have the substance. We need to have the artwork in our covers and the material and the shit to back it up, because why should anyone listen to me or you, you know?
Right.
We need to have that, oh shit, you know, Hayes is bringing back that hip hop. Like, that's what I like. When people come up to me after a show and thank me, that means the world to me. Yeah. I'm trying to thank them, but they come up to me thanking me. That means the world to me. But I'm going off a little bit.
No, it's all good.
But so the thing is, yes, we are at a time now where people are taking it more seriously.
Give me more of a meaning and more of a message.
Yes, and people are, like, some people are, the people who are truly dumbed down at the very bottom, we could say, the listeners, we won't even call them fans, they are torn, like, oh, this is a little too technical or complex for me, so we're not for it. Fine, leave them out.
Exactly.
But the other people who are real fans of music and, you know, what goes into it, they're seeing, yes, there's substance. You know, it's not just all about the same bullshit. Popping bottle, AK, AK. I mean, you look at fucking Slim Jesus. That shit made me fucking sick to my stomach. Yeah. The kid playing with guns and all that, and now he's got fucking 10 million views. That ain't real rap. That ain't nothing to do with the culture. That's a phony. And as a white MC, I can say that. That's fucking corny. You know what I mean? That's some faggot shit. I'm not going to be a puppet and talk about what my man does or what someone that I heard did. Nah, man. Here it is from the horse's mouth. You know what I mean? You're a smoker. You relate. That's great. I got songs that talk about losing loved ones. You've lost someone. You relate. That's the thing. You got to be relatable. You got to be a real person. Like you said, everyone trying to be godlike and, oh, this. Nah, man. What happened to being a real person?
You know, no matter who you are, right? Yeah. I think the good thing about what's changing the music industry, having been in the music industry, is now that with the technology and the internet and everything that, you know, streaming and all the different things that have come around over the last 10, 15, 20 years, there are more ways for you to get this type of music out there with tools, less censorship. Mm. So you don't have to go through a record label anymore to get your stuff out there. You know what I mean? You don't even need to have a record label. You can do it all online and on the internet through all these various services, YouTube, SoundCloud, whatever ways you That's can do right. it. And then you still can do your live shows and promote them mm-hmm. in that way and broadcast them now. So that's what I really think where guys like where you say real lyrics and real hip hop can yeah. come back is through this medium and being able to promote yourself and letting people find out who you are and stand above, like you say, all the crap that's out
right.
there.
Yeah.
Because truthfully, in my eyes, I don't know that mainstream is ever going to give anybody who's really telling the truth or anybody who's really got anything to say a chance.
Mm-hmm. Who won't end up dead.
Oh, won't end up dead, right. Yeah. I mean, you see what happens. However, they can only do so much to people like you and Kevin who are out there doing it on the internet, but still have the opportunity for millions and millions and millions of people to see you mm-hmm. if the right thing catches on.
That's right.
Do you know what I mean? And that's the opportunity they didn't have in the 90s when nope. I was in the game. You know, not even until the mid-2000s did it really, really pop off as a way to, before you were at the slave of the music industry, and you know them, and I don't know that they like that much, that they don't have all the control that they used to, you know?
Yeah. Well, because people are doing it themselves now. There's no more artist development, you know, because people are going on the social media outlets and creating a buzz for themselves now on their own. Right. So what the labels act as now is really just a bank,
you know, right. the cash and a cow. Promotional tool, yeah. right, to take
our
it to
name
the mainstream
is
level.
Yeah, exactly.
But very few people, you know, only the lucky ones get it.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, the ones who will sell out, you know, the chosen. Who knows if they aren't developing these people from, who knows? And just, you know, you don't know. I do know, but you don't know.
Yeah, I know
mean,
that's
a lot
right.
of that shit that you think that they make up a story about that this person came out of nowhere, discovered.
Mm,
it's all
that's
bullshit.
That's a story.
Some of these people, they've been grooming since they were little kids.
That's right. mm-hmm.
You know, and you notice even a lot of days they're sons and daughters of yeah. stars because these people have been groomed in the system.
Yeah.
You know, with these beliefs and values, whatever those beliefs and values may be,
excuse. But yeah, so I just want to give you a special thanks again for having me out on the show. You know what I mean?
No problem. I just want to ask you real quick a point that he brought up, and we'll probably finish on this because we're getting to the end of the show here.
No problem.
But there's one thing that I always thought about, which, you know, we're both awake. Look what we're talking about here, and we talk about the Illuminati, and we talk about what you have to go through to try to be famous. And you're saying, like, I don't know how many people can reach a top level of success in mainstream where they don't have to do dirty deals, they don't have to sell their soul, they don't have to do dirty shit to achieve that. And we've talked about what we want to accomplish personally with our music, and I've asked you before, like, do you see yourself being famous? Would you want to be famous? And you would say, yeah, of course, I'd like to take my music to as many people as I can. But do you ever think about where, like as a local artist, and I think about this myself and the people we work with, and you and I, like, is it, you know, with what we know about the music industry, and especially what you know about the music industry and what you've seen, I mean, you ever think about that? About if you took your music to a label, if you really tried to reach the tip top, or you came close to reaching that opportunity, if you were going to run into that type of dirty shit and then have to, or if it's something you refuse, or?
I mean, to be honest, I'm no matter what. I mean, I know a lot of people say, oh, I'll never change, I'll always be me. But I mean, I'm going to go on a limb and say the same thing. You know, throughout all my life, not music related, I've been faced with challenges and hurdles that I could have taken the easy way and, you know, maybe been someone who I wasn't just to please somebody. But no, you know, I overcame those hurdles the long way, the hard way, being myself and staying true to myself. So at the end of the day, I can sleep at night, you know, wake up in the morning, refresh, knowing that I am who I am. And I feel, you know, blessed that, you know, I could stay true to myself. So if that opportunity ever was to arise and someone came to me and said, hey, look, we just need your swagger and your delivery, you're pretty much going to be a puppet. We're going to tell you the message to deliver to these kids, and we'll give you $5 million. That's not for me. If I don't have creative control and what's going out, I mean, you could point me in a direction. I don't mind if someone's there to truly help and lead me in the right direction. But no one's going to change me or make me say something that I'm not comfortable saying. And that's a damn fact. You know, I'm me to the day I die.
Yeah, exactly. You know, respect, I mean, to that. Yeah. But you see what I'm getting at? That's something I honestly think about with local artists. Is like, do you have to, if you aspire to be at the top, would you have to join the Illuminati to be at the top?
It's not Illuminati. 100%.
Well, you know, it's different levels of fame you're talking about as well. There are people who have a certain level of fame and make a great living and notoriety who have never sold out, really.
And they're comfortable.
And they're comfortable. Mm-hmm. And they're fine. But now, if you want this level of Ariana, whatever her name is, or these ones that are winning awards, Justin Bieber, if you want that level of fame, then you're going to suck some dick.
That comes with...
Yeah, that's where you're going to sell your soul, and you better know where it's coming. But no, there are levels of fame. You know, and it depends on how far you want to go up the ladder and what you will do.
Yeah.
And realistically, Johnny, I'm going to tell you the truth. Knowing the industry like that, if you want that high, high, high top level of Justin Bieber, Madonna, Big Sean,
Icon,
Kanye West, Jay-Z, forget it, man. You have to sell out. They are the gatekeepers of that level. However, there are other levels of notoriety and fame that where you don't have to quite get to that. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
A bit more. And I know I've seen
it. And it's what fame is to you.
Let's say with Skilo. That guy never had a sellout or do anything like that.
Jada Kiss.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain artists that just, you know.
Styles P.
Right. What's his name? Joe Budden. Those guys. They're Slaughterhouse. Yeah. They're still popular.
And they always had creative control.
They're not really sellouts to them.
Not at all.
So it's possible to get a certain level of fame, but if you want that mega, mega superstar fame, it's all gatekeepered by them.
Yeah.
Which, you know, hey, whatever. What are you going to do about it? That's the system, and unless you're willing to sell out, and God forbid you ever sell out and then try to turn on them, you're dead.
You see what happens there.
You're dead. You've seen John Lennon, Michael Jackson, you know, you see what happens to them. Yeah. You try to turn on them, and you're fucking dead. Or your family's dead. You know what I mean?
Because to the upper echelon, you know, it's a game, really, with these ritual sacrifices. Yes. Life doesn't mean shit. Your life doesn't mean shit to them.
Yeah.
You're just a social security number, if that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For them to flick you off, it is nothing.
Speaking of that, didn't you write a song about that?
About the
government and how you're...
I thought you had a song.
Mateo.
Oh, that's good. A different guy. Oh,
okay.
What gotcha. Do you got as a... Do you have a song we want to go out on, a track we want to play?
We could play Falling Out.
Yeah. Yeah. This is Let's the latest with the group High Society.
High Society.
So I guess we're going to end on this note. Hayes, thanks for being
you
on
You got
the
a website. You got a yes. Facebook page. Let's promote what you got,
all right? You could check me out, www.johnnyhayesct.com. We also got me on Facebook, you know, SoundCloud. That's all through the website. There's the links there for you to click. JohnnyHayesCT.com. Hit the website. Periscope, thank you kindly for having me. As long as Joe, thank you for having me.
You're
as
welcome,
well.
My friend.
Kev, thank you kindly, my friend. You know what I mean?
Always,
the Red
brother.
Pill, it's been a pleasure.
TruthIsScary.com.
Yep, and you can see both of us at Gippers in Milford on the 29th.
Come out to a show.
And you know maybe I mean? You'll get to see it live on Periscope. If it does, I will retweet it so you guys can check it out through
Appreciate
the Red Pill.
It.
But check out the Red Pill. Check out us on Blog Talk Radio, TruthIsScary.com, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. We're all there. Kev Rock Entertainment. Johnny Hayes, we'll see you next week. And this song is called what?
This song is called Falling Out.
Falling
Out.
It's
the latest from High Society.
High Society.
Phone rings and the streets keep calling. I had a dream that we can't stop falling. I'm all in with the hand that I was dealt. We prefer to do it solo, we don't need nobody else. The phone rings, the streets keep calling. I had a dream that we can't stop falling. I'm all in with the hand that I was dealt. We prefer to do it solo, we don't need nobody else.
There would be no peace or understanding to my mind state's warfare. If I was tripping face at the 64 World's Fair, the lights dim after I short out every circuit. I was born not just to wait, because my patience isn't worth it. I reside among the stars, not only human but terrestrial. I move myself to Mars to put my planet on a pedestal. So, pardon the beast, I'm part of the streets, born and deceased. I move away from all the war in the east. Morals and peace are as irrelevant as secrets they keep. Memories fade away as I fall into my eternal sleep. I'll show you verbal defeat, you know the shit where you eat. The phone rings, I know it's just another call from the street. I can keep my offer discreet, just ignore me talking the beat. While you speak in silence, I hear secrets while I'm walking on Crete. I try to wake up from my dreams, but they just turn into reality. I can't keep running from these demons that are after me.
The phone rings and the streets keep calling. I had a dream that we can't stop falling. I'm all in with the hand that I was dealt. We prefer to do it solo, we don't need nobody else. The phone rings, the streets keep calling. I had a dream that we can't stop falling. I'm all in with the hand that I was dealt. We prefer to do it solo, we don't need nobody else.
The birds chirping, alarm clock buzzing. I spark a thing up, can't we all stop fussing? I treat my homies like we long lost cousins, and I'm grinding till we comfortable and all worth some. And as a late man, I can feel it in the air. People finally waking up, there's more to life than just despair. And half the cats in the game just need a pair, and it's apparent, like is he Mirage or really there? But nevertheless, I'm still hella impressed by the puppets and the way that they shove it up in the heads of the population. I'm trying to use this hip hop to go and rock the nation. A line around a block of people at the concert waiting. And it's the shit that I believe in, better stop the hating. A stack of CDs from CT to compilation. And yeah, we twisting up the loud for the concentration. It's High Society, bitch. The phone rings and the streets keep calling. I had a dream that we can't stop falling. I'm all in with the hand that I was dealt. We prefer to do it solo, we don't need nobody else. The phone rings, the streets keep calling. I had a dream that we can't stop falling. I'm all in with the hand that I was dealt. We prefer to do it solo, we don't need nobody else.
Psychotic individual, what goes around reciprocal. I wanna be as big as the Beatles were out in Liverpool. Staring in your living room, pick a temple, take a tomb. My fours are always Mr. Fantastic, so I just bring the doom. I live in gloom, I'm not accepting of the daylight. Putting in the work so I can make sure I get paid right. Laying down track after track so I can stay tight. Medicated, take a shot, gotta shake the stage fright. But it's alright, I barely hold it all together. I'm feeling colder than a nudist in the freezing weather. I'm always clever with any and all endeavors. It's whatever, all the pain is there.
there to balance out the pleasure. Never say never, life is full of possibilities. We high society, you fucking with some real MCs. Our capabilities are wrecking your facilities. Expand your consciousness, always better your abilities.
The phone rings and the streets keep calling. I had a dream that we can't stop falling. I'm all in with the hand that I was dealt. We prefer to do it solo, we don't need nobody else. The phone rings, the streets keep calling. I had a dream that we can't stop falling. I'm all in with the hand that I was dealt. We prefer to do it solo, we don't need nobody else.
They always say rap is destroying itself because of, like I told you before, the situations with Pac or Snoop, you know what I'm saying? With niggas is just being real niggas. And they just so much in the media, it's just making people think like, oh, rap music, and it's like, I mean, niggas is trying to eat. That's all I look at it as. Niggas want to eat food. Niggas is tired of being on the streets. Niggas tired of robbing and stealing. Niggas tired of selling drugs. They got little rap skills. They want to put their shit out and try to get some money. Niggas tired of being on the hood. Fucked up, fucked up, fucked up, fucked up.